Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Oh, you've been hearing since early this morning that farmers and contractors are going to be able to apply for the fuel support scheme from next week. And of course, this was announced after the fuel protests. It'll be backdated to around the 1st of March and cover the period right up until the end of July. And Rory is with me here on the line today. Rory, are you one of those who'll benefit from these new measures?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
I'm not. No benefit in it for me at all. However, I am absolutely delighted for the people who got out there and for the people who made sure that their message was heard by government. And it set a kind of a precedent for me that if you want stuff to happen, you have to make yourself heard.
So Is that the right way to go about it?
Well, do we have any other choice, Andrea? I mean, you can sit around and moan about it and complain. I think what you need to do, if they don't see, they must feel. And there's no doubt that the government felt the power of the protest, and they felt the power of the message that even people who were protesting said that we are doing this for the people of Ireland. And I thought at the time when I heard that it was a very ambitious statement. But fair play to that man. I've forgotten his name, because that's exactly what he's doing. Because now government was forced to sit up and help people instead of sit up and work out ways to get their money. The government is awash with money, Andrea, and that's by their own admission. And yet, strangely, very little works in the country.
Yeah, when you're talking to people on the ground. So the 120,000 farmers, and I think it's about 1,500, isn't it, full-time agricultural contractors that are going to get some financial aid as part of this fuel support scheme. You're fully in support, Rory, of that.
Completely. Yeah. And I do think, Andrea, as well, that it would be dangerous to kind of adopt a them and us kind of situation, or they've done this for the farmers and they've done this for the contractors, because this is an old government tactic to divide and conquer. They did it for the people, and I can see that now. You know, I can see that that's what happened, and I can see that if you really want to be heard and you want a change made, you have to get out there and let them feel the pain of what it is that you're going through.
Yeah, but to be fair, I suppose we do have, and that's one of the points I wanted to make, but I can see from, you know, earlier messages and emails we've got from people in recent days in advance of this announcement getting in touch with us, Rory, you know, that people, like, there are people out there who still feel, you know, there are appropriate channels to lobby. Whether you agree with that or not, they exist for a reason. And what happens now when the, you know, the guards and the nurses and the teachers and everybody in the public sector, like, is this the avenue we're to go down?
Yeah, but you see, government inaction has led to exactly this. So the message has been sent out loud and clear that if you want something, you have to go out and you have to fight for it. So I do think that stuff like appropriate channels, government loves that. They love that because they can put that on the long finger. They can go, oh, we can only speak, as they did with this protest, we can only speak to certain groups. So it's just kick the can down the road. And they're famous for that, Andrea.
Okay.
Kick the can down the road and in the hopes that people will actually forget.
Okay. Okay, stay with me, Rory, for a moment, because I just want to bring in Conor O'Leary. Conor is the Munster Regional Chair with the Irish Farmers Association. It's the details of the €100 million fuel support scheme. Are you happy, Conor?
We're somewhat happy, Andrea. This scheme is similar to what IFA proposed as one of a number of measures needed to address the current crisis. We've also suggested to the government that they need to reintroduce a fodder support scheme, which was in place a number of years ago when we had the last fuel crisis. And again, this whole carbon tax, we wanted a temporary suspension of that. It's causing untold issues. It's one tax. It was meant to be a tax that could be, you know, forwarded onto the marketplace. to the consumer, to the eventual consumer. But farmers are the only businesses that have no way of passing this carbon tax on to the marketplace. And it really has us in a bind, and it's got to be addressed in the next budget. So we're happy about the scheme. It is emulated what IFA proposed, but it is just one of the proposals in a suite of measures that would be required to address the whole current issues around
Between the earlier the earlier excise cuts that were announced back in March, and then I suppose the new measures from the last week or so, it should bring about some change. It's not going to ease all the pressure. Nobody expected it to, but it should help in some way.
Yes, it should total a total of about 27.4 cents per litre. So it leaves it in a situation where it has all taxes removed for contractors. And indeed a little subsidy of between 2 and 3 cents per litre to the contractors, and it has all taxes removed for farmers except for the VAT. So it's certainly going some of the ways. But again, you know, the fuel is expensive because of what's happening in the Middle East, of course. And at the time of the last fuel crisis, there was also a couple of more measures were added to that. That would be a fodder support scheme, a payment per hectare to get silage cut. You see, we also have the issue of the fertiliser costs, and that's up 50%. Coupled with the fuel, but we're, you know, there's a whole lot of profiteering going on here. We see one of the major companies in Europe has just announced 41% increase in operating profit for Q1 in 26 over Q1 in 25. That's a 41% increase based on a 2% increase in sales. I mean, it's quite extraordinary the level of profiteering that's going on within industries here. And of course, there was a carbon a border adjustment tax put on fertilizer by the EU, which charges so anywhere between 80 and 120 euros per ton on fertilizer that was applied this January. So it's not all to do with the fuel crisis. Some of this is self-inflicted by European measures and carbon taxes.
Just to say too, because I know in both cases here we've talked about the farmers and agricultural contractors, the construction sector as well, they're also going to be included with the package of supports too. Stay with us, Conor, for a moment. 1800 453 106 is the number. I just want to give listeners a flavour of some of the Lunchtime Live listeners' feelings today, because not everybody is in agreement with this. Texter says, you know, the last guy, I presume they must mean Rory, is wrong. It was the old, it was the sick, and it was people with disabilities and ordinary working people that suffered most from illegal blockades across the country. Another texter has got in touch to say, the people of Ireland, the so-called people of Ireland, never asked to be held hostage on the country's roads. What about you, John? Will you benefit in any way from these new measures announced today?
Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
Not at all. No, I won't. But I know, I mean, fair play to you for getting Conor there on from the IFA, because I thought that was lacking in the coverage a few weeks ago. I spoke to you a few weeks ago, and I was heading out to Portugal, and the price of fuel was actually higher in Portugal, and there was nobody closing down motorways or any of the craziness that took hold here over those few weeks. You know, I think I didn't understand the relationship. I'd be interested if you could talk to Conor about the relationship between his organization and these people who are out blockading motorways and fuel depots. How are these people the sort of the loony fringe of these organizations?
Well, now, to be fair,
have they any control over them? I mean, they're small numbers, Andrea. Yeah. I think you said that yourself. These are relatively small numbers.
But there's a lot of
they drive big trucks.
Batteries. Well, there's also just a lot of very ordinary people who are, you know, working farms and agricultural contractors that, you know, are in no way any side of any, you know, any element of the political divide, taking part in protest and just because of the pain that they're feeling. But you agree, I take it then, do you, with the measures that are being announced today?
My main point is that my concern is that these people have power, you know, because they have tractors. Like, what about the more vulnerable sections of society that have major issues and problems that don't have the ability to go out and close down motorways and block fuel depots? These are vested interests, and, you know, Conor represents a vested interest, and I'm sure he'd be quite open and honest and say that the IFA is a vested interest to look after their members.
Yeah.
And they use every means, legitimate means possible. But then there's people who are using these other means that are out there. And is that right? Is that the way we want to go in society, where the people with the most power can shout the loudest, can get the most resources? Because as you said earlier, that's going to just create a momentum. Every pressure group and vested.
Do you want to respond, Conor, to that?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I suppose at the start of this, ISA were in a process with government. So that was putting us in a position that we weren't going on or on blockades at the time, and the process came to a fruition. But what I would say in defence of the people that did go out, Andrea, is that all these were sole traders. There were people who have their own businesses, either contractors or builders. They don't have a means of protest or a process. They can't strike. They don't have an employer. They can't go on strike. You know, the means by which they can resort to are very, very small. And this was probably one of them. And it manifested into probably something bigger than maybe they had envisaged that they started off. But remember, it's just the process that sole traders have no capacity to go on strike. They can't remove their services from any employer or anyone they're contracted into. And the measures by which they're left to resort to getting things fixed are less than what the general public has. Mm.
Can I ask one more question, Andrea, very, very quickly?
Go on ahead, just briefly, if you don't mind. Sorry. I have a couple of other callers here.
Very quickly, will people in receipt of these grants or whatever they are, allowances, will they have to be tax compliant?
I assume they would. Yes. Conor, you can respond to that. I presume there'd be no question about that. You can talk about receipts and all as part of it as well. Look, I know there's been plenty of analysis of the protests over the last 2 weeks. I kind of want to chat to people today about the here and now, and the fact that contractors are going to be able to apply for the fuel support scheme from next week. Listeners got in touch to say everybody benefited from the excise duty cuts that came out as a result of the protests. Sophie, you're a farmer in Cavan, so you're going to benefit from these new measures?
Well, the scheme acknowledges that pressure, but it also doesn't remove it. I think it's a temporary cushion in a system that is structurally under strain at the moment, as in margins that are already tight and input costs that keep rising and market returns that don't follow. And for many of us farmers, we're working off farm just to keep things afloat, and this support doesn't change the fundamental equation. It just slows down the bleeding.
But it's bound to provide some level of cushion.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's a great support at the moment. But I think we need to think about the longer term. And, you know, there's been a lot of tension around the world, and I think we need to really think long term about different approaches. I think we just need a lot more stability from the government.
Which is hard to, you know, to be fair, that's going to be difficult to try to navigate. But it's going to be backdated to the 1st of March, and it covers the period up to the end of July. You know, I suppose you'll have to give it a certain period of time, Sophie, before any decision can be made as to what might happen next, if it's required.
Yeah, absolutely. But I still think we need to think longer term for the farmers and contractors and site workers out there, but we also need to think about the general public.
And the majority of people, I should say, today here on WhatsApp, you know, that have got in touch about this, all make the point that that the general public have benefited as a result, as part of the overall excise cuts that have been announced. Cyril McGuinness, you're in the haulage business, Cyril. So the support's been announced and coming into effect from next week. What's your reaction?
It has to be welcomed. Anything that's a lifeline for our industry has to be welcomed. The Irish Road Haulage Association had been going into government since September of last year, advising of fuel costs and how they were getting out of hand. And the war really brought that into focus. But they went in with costed figures from PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I think that's why the government listened to the Irish Road Haulage Association. And I don't think that has been said and understood by the public. So there were costed figures. Our tax, as Eugene Drennan has said time and time again, our tax has been very punitive. We have a plethora of taxes, whether it's our road tax, our toll tax, our fuel tax. And I just done a casting before it came out on the radio here for one of my trucks to go from Drogheda to Cork and back. Between road tax, the tolls, and the fuel, the duty and levies on fuel, it cost me, and the insurance levy, it cost me €347.10. That's pure tax to the taxman.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately had three trucks in Cork on Monday. But that excludes my tax that I pay on labour, my tax that I pay on maintenance.
Yeah. But aren't you now going to get a payment, Cyril, of about over €1,300 per vehicle for anyone in the haulage sector with about five or less lorries or commercial buses?
Yes. And that has to be welcomed, because we were actually losing money in March because we didn't know what way fuel was going. A fuel surcharge wasn't covering it. And every day that we went to work, we were actually losing money. So that has to be welcomed. As I said at the outset, this is a lifeline.
Broad welcome. And the fact, sorry, Cyril, I just want to get to the point on this. The fact that the haulage sector, or those in the haulage sector, that the payments are going to be based, you know, on the, based on the number of vehicles that you or other operators have, is that a fair way to do it? I think, is it €300 per vehicle for anyone with more than 21 buses or haulage lorries, and about €1,350 for five or less?
I think it is, yes. Because that protects the small indigenous companies in Ireland that have probably a higher cost of doing business. You know, they have higher admin costs because they're a small company, unlike a big huge company like the international freight forwarders. So it does protect to a certain extent the smaller guys, which has to be welcomed. But as I say, the amount of money that everybody in the haulage industry lost in March and April, it just swallowed up all the reserves. So this has to be welcomed.
Mm-hmm. That's just to give you a flavour today of some of the Lunchtime Live listeners and how they feel about the new fuel support schemes. This listener wants to make the point, though, who is paying for the reliefs given to protesters? It's the people who were blocking who were getting no reliefs. The ordinary taxpayers will pay twice the extra cost charged by the haulage and the money taken from the tax pot. I think protesters were using all fairly new equipment to block up the people who could afford very little. If your business can't survive, it goes under. Simple as that. There was no one there when people were losing their homes in the crash, and there's no one there now when people can't afford rents or to find somewhere to live. That is the view of one of our listeners today. Somebody else makes the point, I just want to say, can people please stop describing it as government money and getting money off the government? It's the public's money. It's the taxes. So money from the farmers and haulage guys and everybody else in between, it has to come from society. And this listener is wondering, why on earth should the farmers, should we get rid of, in any way, of the carbon tax for farmers, because they're one of the highest emitters of carbon and methane, says this listener. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Keep your thoughts coming into us for the moment. That's Rory, Conor O'Leary, John, Sophie and Cyril McGuinness as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.